This morning, I want to take the time to inspire you, to encourage you, to instill in you a sense of urgency, of purpose. If you haven't already, great. If you're almost there, let's get going. If you're not, then this is a clarion call to you. I want to instill a sense of urgency. There's some things you're in a hurry to do. God don't move fast enough. People don't move fast enough. The money don't come fast enough. But I want you to be in a hurry to get with your purpose. And I want that to be for each and every one of us. Are you with me?
Amen.
God wants us to know that all platforms in the business world, sometimes a business doesn't change until it has to. It should do reforms. It could make adjustments. It should listen more to its customers than its own internal musings. But it doesn't make the change until the market is right on their behind, until they're starting to lose market share, until there's some threat, legal or otherwise. Suddenly now there is what we call a burning platform. The imagery of that is you're on a platform, or say like a bridge, and the bridge is starting to burn. If the bridge that you're on is starting to burn, what you're going to do? You're going to run off that bridge to get onto land quick. You're not going to trust that bridge. So a burning platform means you don't have much time. You need to get going. You can't procrastinate. And so God wants us to know that all platforms of complacency and procrastination are burning. All platforms of complacency and procrastination are burning. So if you are in a position of complacency, you know you've given him some of what you could give him, but you know you should and could give more. Complacency. Procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. Even though it's not promised, we say that. That's religion. But we don't live that all the time. We live and make our decisions based on the assumption we got tomorrow. And even worse, if I don't give it to God by tomorrow and I leave here, then I left here not doing what I should do for him. If you can live with that, you got a whole nother problem. So he wants us to know that those platforms are burning and they will, not maybe, they will collapse under their own weight. So if you don't think the fire on that platform is real, you just wait. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the other side of that coin is for those of us who are fully embracing and rocking and rolling despite all of the challenges and barriers and mountains in our lives. Embracing it fully, saying yes and yes now, sir. Want you to be encouraged and know that God is smiling, and that is the best investment you can make. Better than Apple, heaven forbid, Amazon, Facebook, AMD, if you know a bit about the stock market. That investment has the greatest returns. Do what God has blessed you to be able to do now when he asked you to do it. But we miss sometimes on those amazing opportunities to give God our best. Amen?
Amen.
You need to know today that we don't have forever to do what God's asked us to do. Tell your neighbor, we don't have forever.
We don't have forever.
Tell them again, we don't have forever.
We don't have forever.
We don't have forever.
We don't have forever.
To do what God has asked us and blessed us
and
gifted us to do. We don't have forever. And here's the thing. When you say forever, people think about infinity. You don't even have a lifetime. Well, I can do it while I'm still breathing. Actually, that's not always true. You don't even have a lifetime. That platform burning, we ain't talking about the end of your life. We're talking about the end of your opportunity. Tick, 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 tick. He wants us to know that we don't have forever to do the thing that we, what? Know we ought to do. And if you didn't know what you ought to do until today, tick, 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 tick. That clock starts now. If you knew it as of yesterday, it started ticking then. But I'm not just talking about time and a ticking clock here today. I'm telling you about a burning platform. When a platform is burning, you have a sense of your adrenaline gets going. You are ready to, nobody has to tell you to get going. Nobody has to build you up and fire you up. No. The fire does it. God wants there to be a burning platform in our lives as it pertains to our purpose and the stuff that we ought to do, and we know it, and we're procrastinating or going around being complacent. I love the fact that God preaches these kind of sermons to me because it means I matter. It means I'm still in the game. It means he actually wants to depend on me. He actually wants to invest in me. You have a coach and he's tough on a player and he's tough on a player, and the player comes to realize he's tough on you because he believes in you. He's tough on you because he knows you got more to give. He's tough on you because he knows you have greatness in you. I love the fact that God has high expectations of us. And he's saying that there's a burning platform, that we don't have forever to do what we ought to do. Amen?
Amen.
We don't even have a lifetime. The things that we ought to do them when God tells us to do them. We ought to do them while we can. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor,
you
ought to do.
You ought to do.
We ought to do.
We ought to do.
What we can. And what we should,
while we can.
Neighbor,
we ought to do
what we can
and
should
while
we can. We take things for granted. Pastor Trina said we can't do that. She was right. So as a text, we're going to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7, and we're going to sweep on over to, believe it or not, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. That is Genesis chapter 2. Single verse, just verse 7. And then we're going to swing on over to Ecclesiastes. And we're going to take our ultimate text, which is Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 7. And so we will first go over here to Genesis chapter 2. Now, you know what's there. It's all about the creation thing. And God has already said, let us make man in our own image. And this portion of the text takes us to where God actually does the deed, explaining how he did it. We've already seen that, yes, he made them male and female and all that. But here we have two different things, by the way. And I wish I could just preach a whole nother sermon. I just need you to know when he made man, meaning when he made Adam, he actually formed him like with clay. The word is formed. When he got to Eve, he didn't start with original. He didn't do her from scratch. He actually, the Hebrew word that's translated there is he built Eve. He formed man. He built Eve. When you build something, you take all sorts of parts and you put them together and you make something that wasn't there before. He took just dirt and made Adam. One of these days, I might get a chance to preach to you why women are so much more complicated, so much more complex, rather. That's a better word. More parts, more moving parts. When that thing goes wrong, it's like, oh, you got to go under that hood. Even she don't know for a while what's going on, what's wrong, why she's acting the way, because it has to do with feet. There's all so many parts. And she had to be complex. Whew. That's another sermon. God will determine when we talk about that. Amen? So we go here to Genesis chapter 2. And just as we emphasized last week, the great I Am chose, did he not? Yes. Chose to create our environment, our world, our universe. And he also chose to create you. And I wish I had time to preach that sermon. Maybe one day I will. Because we can't understand how God, we came out of a womb and there was a fertilizer. When did he choose? How did he actually, literally, intentionally choose me? From the beginning is the answer. God made everything that he made with the ability to duplicate itself, to replicate itself. God knew exactly which egg was going to be fertilized to make you. It's no accident. The thing is, God can see a zillion chess moves ahead of time. So he was already planning you. And the chess move on the chess set that you represent, that your life represents, he was already planning it a long time ago. The chess piece moves where the player tells it to. The chess piece accepts the fact that it's going to be diagonal only, or only forward and to the side. The chess piece understands its role as a pawn and doesn't diminish it. It understands that its life is sacrificial for the betterment of others. It understands that it doesn't resist that. The king on the chess set understands he's the most important piece, but he ain't the most powerful piece. The queen understands she's the most powerful, but she serves to make sure the king is all right. And the pawn even knows, when I get to the other side, I'm going to be anything I want to be. When the pawn gets the other side of that board. We just are trying to understand the enormity of the decision that the great I Am made when he made you, when he put you in your circumstances, when he made you so uniquely the way that you are. Sometimes we procrastinate or we don't do what we're supposed to do because we don't like the script. We don't like the part that we were called to play. We want to be somebody else. We don't want to be this part. I want to be the lead actor or actress. I could go through the other chess pieces, but I'll get back to where we're going here. Just take it to understand that who you are and why you are and when you are, and it matters. And God, and certainly I am passionate about that, because we are so wonderfully and intentionally created. It's no mistake. No coincidence. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read it together. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So this is how we were created. And he's describing the way he created Adam here. So he took some of the dust. We imagine him making it into some clay, and we imagine him doing like a potter would do. Amen. But what I quickly want you to understand here is actually this word that is translated into, he says, he formed man in the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That word comes from the word that actually means age. We think of him breathing life as if we're dead versus living. We imagine it as if we were not living versus living. But the word that's used here comes from the word that means age. If you think about it, because we curse this in Western societies, when you have that breath of life come into you, you now have the opportunity to age. And by the way, even in this life, you have the opportunity to age, because the alternative is what? To stop aging. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that term, somebody being frozen in time? Suspended animation, where we try to freeze a part, because actually if you freeze things, physiology stops. And the idea is if you unfreeze it, then it can start again when we have new technology. That's why there's those cryo things where people are waiting for new, you know, medical breakthroughs and things like that. But he unfroze us. When you look at Mary Rose and somebody else is dead, they're very cold, and time stopped as it pertained to this life. So when he breathed the breath of life into us, he gave us the opportunity to experience aging, to move and operate through time like he does. God is not afraid of age. Aging is not a bad thing. He is called the Ancient of Days. Let somebody call you ancient. In Western society in particular, if you start talking about age, especially if women are around, all of a sudden our culture is to denigrate age, to deny aging, not to celebrate it like in Eastern cultures. And we think that's funny. Even as Christians, we think that's funny. We buy into it. He breathed the breath of the ability to age and experience life over time. And did you know that we were created to live forever? How dare we curse our aging? How dare we curse the fact that we got to breathe another breath, we got to see another day? How dare we curse that? But we do. Even Christians, we should be the last ones to do it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. As soon as I get into a conversation, I'm saying I'm still 25. You know, the only way that could happen is God struck you down at 25. Do you know what you're asking for when you say that? We say we're snared by the words of my mouth and all that sort of stuff. Guess what? As soon as you say you don't want to age anymore, you know what you're asking for? If that's your prayer, it's a good thing God hasn't answered it. He allowed us to live life just like him. Aging is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We were created to live forever. We just weren't supposed to look like it. Our aging is not supposed to show. Amen? Amen? So it's not really aging that bothers us anyway. It is the effects of aging. Anybody feel the effects of aging? And it's the final result of aging that gets to us, because we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning. So we have a defense mechanism called denial. It's not all vanity. Some of it is. We just don't want to face our mortality. But the effects of aging, the aches and the pains and all of that, and the ultimate result of aging were not supposed to be. It's all because of what? Sin. Don't curse the aging process. Curse the sin. Don't hate the aging process. Hate the sin. But because your sin gets to be solved in eternity, that's why you get to age into eternity with the Lord. He blessed us with that opportunity. The first time he breathed it into our lungs. The second time he got up there on the cross and breathed life into our eternity. So the problem is sin. So because of sin, we have phases in our lives. We have youth, and then we have middle age, and then we have age, and then we get really old. That's all because of sin. And we act differently and we think differently in different phases, amen, of our lives. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. And as we do that, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. As we do that, I just want to remind you about why we got these phases. It's because of sin. Sometimes those phases occur orderly and predictable. You can see it coming. You can adjust to it and all of that. And in other cases, those phases come unexpectedly, suddenly. Sometimes that end result of sin, that end result that comes from aging, happens at a ripe old age, what we consider old age. And other times it happens unexpectedly and what we would consider prematurely. God is in control, and you can't take anything for granted. And if you knew that, if we really felt that, then we would be praising God like the Dodgers won. Because I know that we can say that, but I've seen all of us when our teams won, and we don't praise God like that. We do not praise God as if the Dodgers won, or as if the Lakers won, or as if the Clippers won, or as if the Eagles won. We don't praise God like that. Just think about it. Oh, but he's the big G God. I don't know any of us when our team wins that we've been ride or die with, going through the playoffs and getting all excited. Oh, up and down and up and down. And when they finally win, they were like, that's really cool. I don't know one. The calmest people get excited. The people don't talk that much. The people who are not so animated. Oh, they're animated at that time. Are you with me? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Those sports analogies come in handy. Amen. Amen. Even the women who don't even know about the teams sometimes get excited. There's some men who don't know about the team. They get excited too, maybe because they bet on the game. So as we get here to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think we need to go back to 11:9 and 10, just to quickly get the backdrop. This is Solomon at his ripe old age. I mean, these are almost the last words he ever penned. He's almost done. So imagine that. Remember, we talked about Paul. So now we're talking about Solomon. And he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So rejoice in it, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Enjoy it, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What is he saying here? He's setting you up. He's saying, enjoy yourself. Do all you want to do. Do your thing while you're young. Enjoy your youth. Do it your way if you want to. Oh, yeah. Do it your way. Get with God on your own time if you want to. But I wouldn't advise it. Enjoy your youth. I need to enjoy myself. I need to travel. I need to do this. I need to do that. I don't have time. That's for old people who are retired. That's for people who have had their kids already and don't have kids around. That's for people who have already worked their way up the corporate ladder and got their positions. I need to invest in this right now. Okay. Do your thing if you want to. But I wouldn't advise it because there'll be a price to pay. Are you hearing him? Amen. There will be a price to pay. He says, because childhood and youth are vanity. They deceive you. They're gone before you know it. They're not all that they're cracked up to be in the first place. So if you think your youth will last forever, that'll be the first lie that you'll fall prey to. Because it won't. But once you know that, the question is, what are you upset about? That you have no more youth, or because you didn't give your youth to God? Which one is the thing that you're complaining about? Are you complaining about that you're not as young as you used to be? Or are you complaining about the fact that you could have done more for God while you could? That's a litmus test for us. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Amen. So now we get to our ultimate text. We're going to read the seven verses, but we're first going to read the first part of verse 12. And read it for me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember, he tells you first, you can act up if you want to. You can use all your, you can have folly in your young age if you want to. But I don't advise it. He says, rather, I want you to remember now thy Creator. Now, we already know who he is. He's the great I Am. He is your Creator. He chose you. He created you. He could have not created you, but he chose to. And he says for us to do that in the days of our youth. That word remember means to call to mind, usually as affecting your present feelings, thought, or actions. So what is he saying? You need to remember how you got here, who you belong to, and why you're here. So as you're feeling those feelings and thinking those thoughts and contemplating your actions, making your decisions and choices, you need to remember, you need to be reminded, we need to be cognizant of how we got here, who we belong to, and why we are here. While you're young, are you with me? So let's read verses 1 through 7. I'll ask you to read it for me. Remember
how thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in him.
Yes.
While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird.
Yes.
All the daughters of music shall be brought low.
Yes.
Also they shall be afraid of that which is high.
Mm-hmm.
And fear shall be in the way.
Yes.
And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden.
Yes.
And desire shall fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or the silver cord be loosed.
Yes, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. May the Lord richly bless that reading of his amazing, amazing word. We find here, while Solomon was rarely poetic, he was rarely symbolic, in his last little words here, he starts to do so. Because he's not talking about cisterns, and he's not talking about the things that it's the doors and windows. What he's doing is using figurative language to describe the failings of the body. That's what he's talking about. So when he's talking about cisterns, he's talking about your excrement system and your urinary system. Amen? Amen? He's talking about the failings of the body as it gradually grinds to a halt. Now, we don't always get gradual. Don't make that assumption. But in his case, he's experienced it. Amen?
Amen?
And he's trying desperately to teach us from it. So it is a fact that vision and hearing and strength and agility, the ability to manage heights, speed, teeth, sleeping patterns, things we take for granted, even some desires wane, and even your bowel and bladder control. All these are things that are at risk as we get older, as we age. Why? Because of sin. It wasn't supposed to be that way. But he is saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before all these other things befall you, before the effects of sin on the beautiful aging that God gave us as a gift with the breath of life. We should take advantage of our youth is what he is saying. Don't take it for granted. He's saying don't take it as something you own. Take it as something that's a gift from God that you owe him back. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And why does he have to say this? Because we naturally think the opposite. That's why he had to write it. And Mary Rose and Brother Paul could certainly tell us that these faculties, these abilities can suddenly be taken away from you and your life can remain. Amen. You can be like Mary Rose, thinking clapping but can't clap. You can be like Mary Rose and have a tube down your throat and want to talk but can't talk. Want to tell somebody to pray for you. Want to praise God. Want to tell somebody how afraid you are in Paul's case and can't. So these abilities that we take for granted can be taken away in mid-flight. And of course, your life can be taken suddenly. Neither Paul nor Mary Rose went when we thought they were going to go. There are folks that are still living over there. Some don't know their own names, but they are outliving these two people who are among the most mentally and or physically agile in the place. They would tell you if they could. Amen?
Amen?
So it can be taken away suddenly. So what's the final issue? What's the final message? What's the point? It is so that we do what we can. We do what we should while we can. Simple point. Do what you can. Do especially what you should while you can. And youth is not a number. What he's saying here is youth is measured in you still able? Can you still think? Can you still write? Can you still talk? Can you still walk? Can you still move your limbs? Do you still have the faculties of your mind? Well, guess what? So you still got a whole lot of youth left. You still got a whole lot of I can left. You still got a whole lot of I can do more for somebody else than I need to be done for me. You still have youth left. Take care of God's business while you can. Amen. Give your best years to the one who created you. How would you like to build something, create something, and only get the worst parts of it when it's all winding down and need to be replaced? How would you like to be given something on its last leg? You want the new one, right? God wants the new one too. So let's do what we're supposed to do now. Not procrastinate, not be complacent. Let's give the Almighty God, the I Am that created us, what he deserves.